This is taken from the book of Ecclesiasticus. Before all ages, in the beginning, he created me, and through all ages I shall not cease to be. In the holy tent I minister before him, and in Sion I fixed my abode. Thus, in the chosen city he has given me rest. In Jerusalem is my domain. I have struck root among the glorious people. In the portion of my God, his inheritance, and my abode is in the full assembly of the saints. We stand up to hear the most holy gospel. Taken from St. Luke. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, a certain woman from the crowd lifted up her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the breast that nursed thee." But he said, "Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." For the words of the most holy gospel, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, dear friends, I want to meditate today about this last part of the gospel of today, when our Lord answered, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." Saint John Maria Vianney says that the same respect that we have for the Blessed Sacrament, we must have for the word of God, because it's God Himself, it's divine. His word, His presence, His attributes are divine. I would say this is the main problem, the main point, which has caused so great crisis, the apostasy, and to people to go astray from the truth. Because they don't consider the word of God as divine. Very little value they give to the word of God. Especially today, we have a flood of lies, of opinions and ideologies and heresies. And because we have ignorance and we don't have interest in the truth, we end up by not paying attention to God, what God wants to teach to us, and therefore we don't apply it, or we don't know the principles of the spiritual life. Just to give an example, it's very telling. The attitude of Bishop Ballini, for example. Bishop Ballini was an interview for some of the faithful in England. And basically, he didn't see any problem with so many doctrinal issues of Bishop Williamson. He thinks that it's something that can be dealt off in private, that in order to keep giving sacraments and to be prudent, quote-unquote prudent, not to speak about those topics, not to condemn in public those things, even if it has caused a great deal of scandal, caused a great deal of people and priests being misled towards modernism, as it was not a big deal doctrine. I would say it's a thermometer. O sea, it always will be a thermometer to see how well priests are doing this, how much fear to offend God, and how much honor and respect for doctrine priests have. Or bishops have. So it's not possible that a bishop will, for example, not preach in public, will not correct his fellow clerics in public, when it's a huge scandal. When Bishop Williamson has been preaching officially that the new mass has something good, and he says the key core of the Novus Ordo religion, to replace the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, his cross, to replace it by something human, by a remembrance, by a memory, by a service which is Protestant. So a sin of the an infinite sin against faith, against God, against his glory, and not to be scandalized when someone is supporting in some way the modernist religion. It's a bad sign. It's a very bad sign. I just warn you, because the gospel is very clear, our Lord is very clear. Basically, this woman is praising the Blessed Virgin Mary. And our Lord said, thank you, yes. But the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary will not be of benefit for you if you don't love my word, keep my words. By saying, okay, she is the queen. She's the queen of heaven and earth. And you shall enjoy her company, her queenship. But first, you have to be worried to love my word and to keep it. Just think about what St. John Maria Vianney says. The same love, respect, honor that we have for the Blessed Sacrament, we must have the same honor, respect for the word of God, for the doctrine, for faith. Because again, it is divine. So this is why I have been recommending, I will do it again and again, to ask the grace for perfect contrition. Perfect contrition is the grace number one we should be striving after for, to acquire. Because precisely, perfect contrition is that sorrow, habitual sorrow of offending God, of challenging God's order, God's will, God's divine providence, to have that fear, reverential fear of offending God by preferring something to him, precisely. So that hatred for sin is what we need the most. Because it's a double work in a spiritual life. For one side, we have to love our Lord with our whole heart, the first commandment. But the other fight is to hate sin with all our might. And they have to go together. It's what St. Pius X says. The love of God for his divine things, divine realities, his holy faith, must be in proportion to the hatred for sin, for errors, heresies. So we must profess our faith in public. Look, just hear what I want to say. We must profess our holy faith, our love for our Lord in public. Also, we must profess our hatred for sin and errors in public, especially today. Because a new religion has been installed around us with the name of Catholic, with the false name of being Catholic. And that false religion has been permeating everywhere in every round of Catholic religion, Catholic environment, families. So we are more obliged more than ever to profess our faith and to combat error in public. As a proof that we love our Lord, that we want to go to heaven, that we appreciate these treasures from our Lord as the greatest treasure, as the most important values in our life. This is the main problem, believe me, it's the main problem, because we don't give the respect, the honor, the value that we owe to give to doctrine, to our Lord's divine providence, to his promises, and therefore to the love that he has for us. So our Lord was very, very clear. Love my world. In fact, those are the words of Archbishop Lefebvre. We have come to believe in the love of God. We have come to believe in the love of God. So, if we live in the presence of God, which Saint Benedict says, if we live in the presence of God, we will respect His divine providence, His will, His love, and we will have aversion for sin, more and more. So that is humility. So this is why, to have the fear of the Lord, and to have the fear for sin, we must have first humility. And that means that we have to live in the presence of God. In order to live in the presence of God, what the means, more important means to live in the presence of God is to see God in our neighbor. It's a great effort we have to do, but it's essential. Because our Lord says, if you don't love what you see, why do you think that you are going to love what you don't see? Our Lord wants us to love Him in our neighbor. So each time that we see our neighbor, when they speak to us or they act towards us, to see our Lord speaking, acting towards us. So, but to see Christ in them. You know, this secular world is placing people in apostasy. It means they see material things, human things, but they don't see God around us. They don't see God in our neighbor, in our crosses, in the events of daily life. Basically, they don't live in the presence of God. God is banned to the corner, banned from society, from families. Without God, pride, especially what governs, and therefore sin and vice, and law is taken away, and liberty is put on the place of the law of God, the liberty, false liberty of men. So this is why it's very important to God for this grace of perfect contrition. Perfect contrition comes precisely for humility, from the fear of the Lord, and for the love for truth. Because the love for truth goes hand by hand with the hatred for sin, for heresy. And the other thing that we have to foster, dear friends, is spiritual communion. Because the first commandment is to love God with all our heart, our mind, our resources. That means that we have to use all that we have, all that we see, all that we encounter around us to be united to God. So that means that we have to see the hand of God in everything, therefore to give thanks to God and be an occasion of prayer, whatever happened to us, whatever we see, whatever we suffer, whatever good things we have, it's an occasion of prayer in order to be united to our Lord. So it's the preparation for Holy Communion, the preparation for heaven. The saints will do spiritual communion many times a day as a sign of the desire desire of God's will and God's divine providence, God's action on earth. Basically, God's kinship on earth. It's that communion, that see God in our neighbor and seek God and His will everywhere, any moment, any time. You see, we need to do that. We need also to live in the presence of God. It's the main exercise for us to do every day. To see God around us always. If I see this man speaking, it's Christ speaking. If I see especially my father, authority, my mother speaking, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph speaking to me. And I have to be in a humble, fearful, obedient disposition in order to show God that I love him, I want to his will, and I love his word, I want to be by faith and to be in his presence. Yes. And remember also, the greatest the evil around us has, the counteraction has to be greater. So the diabolical action is really abundant. So our counter reaction has to be praying and seeing God, using the weapons of God, of prayer and penance, or the word of God and the faith constantly. So the temptation I can see very well is to relapse or to be lukewarm because the abundance of evil. But it should be the contrary, it should be the opposite. Especially by true humility, I tell you, true humility and fraternal charity. To seek the presence of God. To seek this fear of the Lord and the hatred for sin. So we ask this grace to the Blessed Virgin Mary in this crisis so terrible we are undergoing. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.